You are a part of the greatest organization ever known to man. It has the greatest founder. It has pure motives. It has a pure message. It has an eternal purpose. It is a body. It is a family. It is an army. To be a part of the church and kingdom of Jesus Christ is the greatest privilege you could ever have. We need to be reminded once in a while that what we're doing here is of the utmost importance. And it's not just this time, it's any time the church gathers. What we're doing is the most important thing a person could do on this planet. It's eternal. And I hope that this morning we are reminded of that and encouraged by that. Last week we had what we called Small Groups Sunday. It was a day that we thought about small groups in a greater way, and we encouraged those. We encouraged those who were not typically in a small group to attend one last Sunday night, and we had 14 new faces in our small groups last Sunday night. The church here got a little stronger because of that.
Yeah.
We got a little stronger. Tonight, of course, you should know by now, hopefully you know by now, that our picnic, we postponed it 1 week. So tonight we're on schedule as normal. I encourage you to, if you're not normally in a small group, to attend one tonight. Be a part of one. We have papers at the Welcome Center that give information about our groups. We will get stronger as we get together more. When I say the church, what comes to mind? When I say the church, what image comes into your head? Those two words, what words pop in your mind when you hear the church? There are a lot of misconceptions about what the church is, and probably the greatest is that the church is a building, right? That's probably the greatest misconception. The church is, of course, not a building. The church is you. You and I. We are the church.
Amen.
When we are separated, we are Christians. When we are together, the church is together.
Amen.
And the church is honoring God this morning and getting stronger this morning. What is a team? A team is a group of players. And the players are... A player is not a team. The players separate are not a team. But when the players get together, they are a team. What is an army? It's made up of soldiers. Those soldiers might be stationed at a base, and so the army is at the base. Those soldiers might be in training, the army is training. They might be deployed, the army is deployed. We are a church. If you are a Christian, you're part of the church here. We're part of a group. How strong are you as a Christian individually? Quite a thought. That's about like a great thought Dad shared a moment ago. Are you going to heaven? We might get a little tongue-tied. We're not. We need to be more confident, and we need to have that figured out, don't we? How strong are you as a Christian? But that's a question that causes us to stop and evaluate me. Well, when we get to talking about me, most of us are not that comfortable talking about us, right? Especially spiritually. How strong are you as a Christian? You may feel small and weak as a Christian, but together we are strong. Right? Together we are strong. Think about a droplet of water. How much power does a droplet of water have? Most of us don't like to get rained on. If it's raining, we'd like to have an umbrella. At the very least, we're going to kind of walk fast, and that used to be more of a problem for me. And this is one of those, when it's raining, I smile a little bit if I think about this, if I remember, because I look at all y'all with beautiful hair, and I just smile because the rain doesn't bother me at all. But what power does one droplet of rain, one droplet that hits your windshield in a car, what power does one droplet have? But together, what can many droplets of water do? There's power in numbers, right? The snowflake, an individual snowflake must be one of the most fragile things. But together, what do snowflakes do when there's enough of them? right? Anybody like snow besides me? I'm hoping we get some snow this winter, right? We haven't had a lot of snow. Maybe not this much snow, but I like snow. Individually, we do feel spiritually weak. We are more weak when we're separate. And guess what? The devil knows that. The devil loves when we get separate. He works on us. Together, we gain strength, we gain comfort, we gain courage for God. We come here, at times like this, we come here to worship God, and we also come to get stronger. We come here to get stronger, to go out there and resist the devil, number one, to spread God's love, and to win more souls. We come here to get stronger, to go out there and do what God wants us to do, to be salt to the earth, don't we? Amen. Hebrews 10. I want us to look at this in a moment. Go ahead and flip in your Bibles, if you want to Hebrews 10. We're going to look at verse 24. When you, an individual, are here like you are today, we get stronger. And when you are not here, the church does not continue the same without you. Let me say that last part again. When you're not here, the church does not continue the same without you. Sometimes when I'm away, when I'm not here and I'm on vacation, or maybe I'm sick and I'm not here being in my role, I'm always always get a little paranoid, and I'm thinking, you especially, you know, 9:30 and 10:30 when things are happening here, I get a little paranoid. I'm thinking, Elliot, what did you forget? You know, you were supposed to do this or that, and some things are going to come to a screeching halt, and the train's going to come off the tracks. And sometimes I'll text Keith, and he'll have to calm me down, and he'll say, listen, brother, we got it. We got this. And so I know in one respect, when I'm not here, things, the church is still going to worship. The church, everything's going to go, okay? And so I'm not that important, and you're not that important. But the opposite, there's an aspect in which when I'm not here, it's not the same, not because I'm special, but because I'm one, and you're one. And when you're not here, we do continue, we're still going to worship. We're still going to have Bible class. We're still going to do whatever we do. But when you're not here, we don't do it the same. Does that make sense? It's not the same. The church is a little smaller. The church is a little weaker. The church is missing something. And sometimes when we say we miss, you know, we say we miss each other. And you come and I told Bob, welcome back this morning. I've been away on trips and vacation. And when we say, you know, I missed you, there's two ways that works. There's two ways I want to use that phrase. One is, I like it when you're here and you weren't, and I noticed and I missed you. Okay, so just, it's about exactly what you think that means. But the other way, there's another aspect that we miss you, meaning it's not the same without you. You're not just a droplet. You're not just a snowflake. You're one of us. And when one's not here, it is different. There is something that's different. You are able to encourage someone in a way unlike anyone else. We're all unique in that way. And if you don't feel like that's true, then that means you haven't been here enough. Just keep coming. Keep coming. Because I watched this morning, I watched Tori greet David. And what I saw is someone that's able to encourage someone unlike really any of the rest of us. When you have two that have... We have unique connections all through this body. We sat over here this morning. And I'll repent later because I don't think that's right. We're supposed to be over here. And we're not, by the way, I'm not saying we're conceding our pew either, right? I'm kidding. We sat over here because Stephanie wanted to sit by Cindy. So we're going to sit over here. It didn't feel right, but it's okay. They can encourage each other in a way unlike others. There's only one of you, right? Amen. There's only one of you. And when you're not here, it's not the same. You may not know how much you encourage someone else just by being here. But when you are here, it's another soul, it's another singer, it's another smile to a visitor. And you contrast that to when you're not able to be here, it's another empty seat, it's another song that sounds a little empty. It's different. When you're not here, the church doesn't continue the same without you. It's not about numbers, it's not about the number on the board, it's about individuals. Does that make sense? It's about individuals. You are an individual. There's only one of you, and you're a part. And when we're together, we're the church. And when there's more of us together, the church is stronger. The church gets a little stronger on Wednesday nights. And I want to talk just a little bit about Wednesday nights, and let me plug that. It's a decision that was made. We kind of inherited that practice, so to speak, but it's a good one. That in the middle of the week, the church gathers. If you're not normally here on Wednesday nights, let me tell you that we have children's classes. Starts with the infants on up. We have children's classes of different ages, and they learn about God on their level. This I have to tell you, this past Wednesday night, Steve was telling me, Steve teaches the 5th and 6th grade class Wednesday nights, and he was in class ready to go, and there were no kids, and he thought there were not, it got past time to start, and still no kids in that class, and he thought, well, you know, I guess none are coming tonight. I'll come into Lindell teaches here in the auditorium. I'll go into Lindell's class. And then in came Brock and his friend. And so here we go. And they came in, and I think they came from practice, and it looked like, you know, hurried to get here. And so Steve was excited. I got two young minds that are ready to learn about God, and I'm ready to teach them. And he said, you know, he gave them a little bit of time to kind of get settled, and you know, let's talk about how's life going, and then get your Bibles out. Now let's get our Bibles out. And they did. They got started in on the lesson. And he said there came a point in that lesson where they were reading the scripture, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And he said Brock read that, and he said a light bulb went on. He understood it. He understood it maybe in a way a little deeper, a little better than before. All I'm saying is there was that moment in a class on Wednesday night, one teacher, two kids, and we're growing. We're getting stronger. That gives you just a snapshot of what happens Wednesday nights. But we have a teen class, we have college age class, and we have two other adult classes. One meets in here, one meets in the fellowship room. After class, we come in the auditorium, and we have a short devotional message, just a thought to take with you for the rest of the week. We go over some upcoming activities, events that are coming up. We have, and then we stop and we say, "What prayers has God answered this week? Tell me something God's done. He's answered a prayer for you this week." We share those. We look at our prayer list. When those of you, our church family, are hurting or struggling in some way, You're on that list, and we lift those people up to God, and we close. And we do that Wednesday nights. If you were a ball coach, baseball, softball coach, a game in which you'd put 10 players on the field, and you're a coach, or 9 players on the field, and it's time to have practice, and you have practice, and you have 10 players, and you have all these plans for what you're going to practice that night, and you have 3 ball players show up. It's kind of hard to practice, isn't it? 3 baseball players, 3 softball players. I gave you an example of a class where 2 came, and 1 teacher and 2 students, and it turned out well. But more often than not, church, I want you to know, more often than not, we have our teachers are ready to go. By the way, they study, they prepare, they've got all the materials, they have the crafts, whatever it is, they're ready to teach. Their heart is full of God to share with kids, and we may have 1 kid in class. We may have 2 kids in class. And you can see how when there's 8 kids on a roll that could be in that class and 1 comes or 2 comes, it's discouraging for the kid. For the children, it's discouraging. It's discouraging for the teacher. So I'm wanting to give you a shot of adrenaline in the arm that, church, we need you. We need you. If you don't normally come Wednesday nights and you start coming, the church will get stronger. We'll get stronger. Okay? If you start coming on Wednesday nights, your children will get stronger. Have you ever shopped for something and you want to look at the reviews? You ever shopped for an item on, let's say, Amazon or on the internet, and you're like, well, you know, this looks good. It almost looks too good at this price. You know, how many stars does this have? Well, let me click on some user reviews. I want to see what people who actually bought this, what they say about it. I'll give you two. Here's one. This is two people sharing kind of what Wednesday night is for them. One says, I go Wednesday night to enjoy the enlightening, inspiring, and refreshing discussion of the Scriptures. The service is uplifting and encouraging. Another one said, Wednesday night service to me is a boost to get through a week spiritually. I look forward to the class. If I have to miss Wednesday night, it makes for a long week. And I promise you, if you add it to your routine to come and if you're able to come and join with us Wednesday nights, I promise you, if you do it after a little while and you miss, you will miss it. You'll notice the difference. You'll say, man, this is a long week spiritually. You'll see the difference. And I challenge you, if you come on a Wednesday night, you don't normally come, I encourage you to come with this mindset. Just come one time with the goal of gaining one thing. It might be something you learned. It might be some way of being encouraged. Just come to gain one thing spiritually and come to encourage one person spiritually. It's pretty simple, right? Just one time, come to gain one thing and come to give one thing. Encourage one person. It's good, church, when we're here on Wednesday nights. We get stronger. Incidentally, once in a while, we change the pace, and we're doing that this Wednesday. It's called Power Night. We called it Power Night because we knew it was a smaller number, typically, and we wanted to capitalize on that and make it a little more personable, a little more close to God, maybe, a little more spiritual. And so we meet across the street, and we set chairs up in the circle. And if you don't like being in the center, don't worry. Nobody sits in the center. But anyway, it's available. If there's somebody here that wants to be in the center, we meet over there. The acoustics are phenomenal for singing. And we gather around each other, and we sing to God, and we sing to each other. And we stop periodically, and we'll either hear a scripture or hear a thought, or oftentimes, more often than not, we'll lift up one of you that is in special need. And we'll lift you up in prayer to God. And we're doing that this Wednesday night. I encourage you to come. If you start, I'll just mention a couple people. There are a lot that I won't mention. I'm going to mention two names. Would you believe that most of you don't like it when I call on, when I hold you up as an example and call your name? Would you believe that? I'm learning that, by the way. Slowly.
Amen.
I'm learning that. But most of you would rather me not call you by name, but I am going to call two just because whatever. But if you start coming Wednesday nights and you take that step with the church, Brian Benton and Richard Prater, I will hold to you as two men that at one time in their Christian walk with God, they didn't come Wednesday nights. But they made that choice and decision. You know what? I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start coming. I'm going to start gathering with the church Wednesday nights to get stronger. It's awesome. So now our scripture, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. This verse in the Greek literally reads, consider one another. Now, the Greek grammar is different than the English, but one thing that the Greek grammar will do is by placement of words, it will emphasize a word or it will emphasize a thought. And this in the original, if we were to read it in the original order, the wording is consider one another. And the word, and then it goes on to say the rest. But consider one another, basically how to stir up and encourage. The word translated consider is from the Greek word katadineo, and it means to observe fully. consider, to observe fully. It doesn't mean give a quick thought to, you know, don't forget to. It means stop what you're doing, look at this, and think about it. I'll give you an example. We've had water issues in this building for a long time, but one of our recent ones is we have a window back here, this one over in this corner. That window area, when we've had some big rains recently, some water has come in to the building, soaked the carpet. Steve has been working on that. Steve, being over our building and grounds. By the way, if you have an interest and ability and skills, and we're iffy on the skills, we don't care. We'll take you if you're really iffy on the skills. Interest and ability, right, to help the church by helping Steve with facilities and grounds, it would be a blessing. Think about that, church. I know there are more than him. He does a lot. So we've been pondering this window, right, because water come in. We're not here when it's raining. So he's been working on trying to figure it out. Is it coming from up above? Is it coming from the ground? How does it get? We know how it's getting in, but exactly where? And as he's doing that, he'll talk to me. And once in a while, I can't help it. I'll come out here, and I come out here with him, and we're standing around this window, and we're looking, and we're looking down, and we're thinking about, you know, we're pondering, and we'll go outside. We'll look at it. Let's look out here. What do we think? Well, I don't know. That could be here. I'll tell you what it could be. And we are considering that problem and how to solve it. We're considering it. That's what this means. The New Century says, let us think about each other. In other words, a paraphrase of this verse would be, let us think, fully give thought to how we can encourage and motivate each other. I think that's deeper than what I normally read this. Let us really stop and think, how can I make the church, how can I make the kingdom even stronger by what I do, how I encourage each other, someone else, how can I stir up someone? When we have Monday Night for the Master, I tell you what, if you want to have fun, go join the card writing group. That's some good stuff in the card writing group, because you've got a bunch of encouragers in one room writing cards. They're talking about people who among our church family could use a little extra encouragement. They're talking about, they know people, their hearts are full of God's love, encouraging. They are considering one another. 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. A New Century on this verse says, you should not stay away from the church meetings, as some are doing. In the first century, when the church would gather in different places, the author is writing and saying that when the church gathered in the first century, some had a habit of not gathering with the church. They would stay away. Doesn't go into details about, you know, what's going on, just that was happening. He says, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. We don't gather here for rituals, church. We don't. It's why we have someone talk every time we start the Lord's Supper. Why don't we just pray? Because we have to be reminded this is not an empty ritual. This is not just something we do, check it off the list, go on, what's next, what's the next song? This is something we do with hearts full for God. It's very important. We don't gather just because God said to gather. We are an army. We are a body of believers. We worship together because God loves it and we need it. We gather Sunday night because God loves it and we need it. We need to be stronger. We need to be closer. I encourage you to shift your thinking about what you want to what does the kingdom need. You could write that down, take it, and chew on it a while, couldn't you? And I could too. From what do I want to what does the church need? What does the kingdom need? What does the group need? Seek first the kingdom of God. A couple other scriptures for us this morning. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, and we're different, but it says the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. So it's talking about, I'm not necessarily like everyone else, or I'm not one of the leaders, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. I'm just a foot. But whatever you are, that's funny. We got two back there, literally. I don't mean O-O-T-E, okay? I mean a foot or a hand. The idea is that you are more important than you realize. I have the feeling that when you come here, you may be tempted to think, I'm just one of many. A lot of you are introverts, and I am too. And if I had, my way is to be kind of in the room, but not with all eyes on me, ironically, but true. If you're like that, I understand you, right? Introverts. You're more important than you realize to the body of Christ. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranges the members. God arranges the members in the body, each of them as He chose. Why are you here? And I don't mean here this morning. I mean here as a part of this church family. Why are you part of Sand Springs Church of Christ? God arranges the members. Could it be that God needs you here? Could it be that the kingdom of God here, needs you here? Needs what you bring. Needs who you are. Needs your experiences. Needs your talents. Needs your perspective. Needs your heart. Needs what you have. We are an army of God. And I leave you with this thought that there are more things that the army of God could do here if we utilized our strengths better. If we utilized you better. And we can use more of so many things. We can use more helpers and teachers and Bible hour. It's Bible hour, a kids class. We need more coordinators. If you're good at planning and you like that, we always have things that we need more people planning. We need just more servants. And so you are more important to the church and the kingdom than you realize. We are an army. We're going to close with a song, Make Me a Servant. It takes a servant mindset to say, God, not what I want, but what you want. Amen. And that's what I want to encourage you about this morning. The army of God, the church, we need to get stronger. And we can. We need you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if there's something we could do for you, we could pray for you, help you. If there's one this morning that you've not joined the army, you've not given your life to Christ, we'd love to help you with that. If there's something we could do for you, please come while we stand and sing.
Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you, for you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant.
Sir.